is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
My colleague and co-host Harry Siegel of the New York Daily News, a columnist of the Daily Beast, an op-ed editor, and my guide on all things of the New York City recovery. Harry and I are very, very privileged to welcome Bill Bratton, former police commissioner of New York, and along with a number of other governances, who's here to comment on a recent op-ed he published in the New York Daily News about the challenge of crime and disorder in the subways. This disorder is highlighted by two events in these last hours. One, Mayor Eric Adams rewarding the young people and not so young people who rose all good Samaritans in the recent attack in Brooklyn to respond not only to the fear that was possible. There was smoke in the car. There were gunshots. There was not clarity and the train was still moving, but also to help their fellow passengers once they realized that they'd been wounded and that they were sprawled out on the subway platform. There was total chaos. The second event took place in these last hours at Herald Square, which is the center of the world if you sing Broadway songs. Herald Square, where another Good Samaritan came to the rescue of someone who was experiencing what is alleged to be a theft of an iPhone and was attacked for it. So Good Samaritans take risks. Gentlemen, I welcome you this morning. And Mr. Commissioner Bill, it's a pleasure to speak to you. We want to recover the subways that you confronted when you arrived in the late 20th century for the Transit Authority, then eventually the whole police department. What was your first thought or your first group of thoughts as you organized yourself to apply to what at that time, I've been in New York City for 50 plus years, Bill. Well, I call upon a lot of IRT riding. What was your thought about what is to be done in the 1990s? Good evening to you, Bill.
It's great to be with you. In 1990, I was recruited to become the chief of the transit police, a separate police department at that time, 3,800 officers patrolling New York City subways, which were in the midst of a 25-year growth of serious crime, 1990 being the worst year ever. I was recruited by David Gunn, who was then the president of the Transit Authority, and Bob Kiley, the chairman of the MTA, two heroes of the recovery of New York that began in the subways. The subways of New York, as you know, are the lifeline of this city. And as the subway goes, so goes the city. Well, my first impression when David picked me up at LaGuardia Airport was that the city itself was a mess coming in on the various highways, the graffiti everywhere, abandoned cars, burned out buildings, the screechy pests as we came into the city. But that was nothing compared to going down into Dante's Inferno, the various levels of hell. And that's how you'd have to describe the subways at that time. The only good news at that time was that all the subway cars that had been covered with graffiti, all 6,000 of them, that graffiti had been removed. But there were still almost 5,000 people living in the homeless people living in the subway, constant robberies of the token booths, constant robberies of the passengers, 3.5 million passengers, 250,000 fare evaders every day, leaping over, crawling under. Token suckers, basically people who would basically jam up a token machine and then suck those tokens out with their lips. People at the slam gates who were basically intimidating you into giving you your token to them since you couldn't put it into the token machine. 70 crimes a day. It was awful and dingy and dirty, grimy. 25 track fires a day because there's so much trash in the pits that when the trains with the sparks from the steel rails rolled over them. 25, 26 track fires a day. It was a mess.
Yes, underline mess. Harry, you have a question for the commissioner.
I have to note that Frank James, the subway shooter, had, I believe, two prior arrests from the 1990s for being a token sucker back in that era. Commissioner, you wrote in the Daily News a few days ago in this piece titled What Adams is Getting Right, that to succeed, it will require more support from the city council, the legislature, and the people. But to date, as you know, despite marginal changes to this bail reform law first passed in 2019, there's really very little sign that the lawmakers are with him. And so far, the overall and violent crime numbers are up significantly on his watch, although his watch is still brief enough, it's too soon to judge ahead of this summer and the inevitable movement up of those numbers then. But my question for you, as you're thinking about when you came in the present and two very different political moments in New York, is can Adams and his team succeed with the tools he controls if, as it appears, the council and the legislature aren't aligned with his common sense approach?
I don't believe he can, because police are only one part of the criminal justice system, and that criminal justice system has literally collapsed in New York, indeed around the country, but maybe more so in New York than elsewhere, because of the legislature in Albany, the new city council, that are not with Mr. Adams, that they are still firmly opposed to a lot of what he is advocating, particularly a return to what worked in the 90s to make the subway system in the city safe, the emphasis with more precision on serious crime, which is nowhere near the level it was in the 1990s, but it's still serious enough, as well as a simultaneous focus on the so-called quality of life types of crime, the broken windows that people see every day. The reality is the New York City subway system, there are only 6 to 7 serious crimes a day in terms of robberies, et cetera, or things that make the front page. But every day, those now 3.5 million riders are confronted with, once again, the homeless, are confronted once again with the aggressive begging, are confronted once again with the emotionally disturbed, and also the rising fare evasion, that they look around and they say, I'm paying my fare, but nobody else seems to be. And so Mr. Adams, and this was the point of my daily news article, is engaged in a Don Quixote quest, because the windmills he's going after right now are not spinning. They are stuck. And they are stuck on a terrible, terribly flawed criminal justice reform movement. So you talked earlier about that criminal justice reform movement. It hasn't moved very much, even since his election. They tout that they've reformed the bail reform. They really have not. It's still a mess. If a cop tries to stop a fare evader, the DAs are still not going to prosecute that fare evader. And there's been a misperception created by the politicians. And this is a politically created crisis. The politicians in New York State, New York City, created this crisis. COVID impacted on it, influenced it, but it was created in 2019 by the New York State legislature in their well-intended but terribly flawed criminal justice bail reform initiative.
Mr. Commissioner, you have observed New York and other major cities for decades. The element that was never there in my memory of riding New York subways was the pandemic. And I lived through the pandemic working at Penn Station. Nothing like that had ever been presented to me in 50 years of living in New York. How much of the present disorder in the subways and really throughout the city is driven by the pandemic?
The impact of the pandemic, from my perspective, is its impact on the criminal justice system, or what passes for a system in New York State, New York City. One, the anonymity that the masks provide, that in terms of everybody masked up in the subway, a phenomenal assist to those who would want to commit criminal acts, whether emotionally disturbed or criminal intent. But the idea of the virus impact, it shut the courts down for over a year, no trials, et cetera. It impacted on numbers of police officers, 5,000 out at one time with the virus, no jury trials. So the impact on the criminal justice system was profound, but it's being used as a cover now by the politicians trying to blame that for the crime rise, for the disorder rise. Sorry, that began in 2019, a year before the COVID situation, a year before the murder of George Floyd. It began in Albany. If you want to understand where the crime plague, a crime epidemic began, it began in Albany and assisted by our city council and some of our district attorneys, who Cy Vance, a good friend, but somebody who I differed with greatly on the issue of fare evasion, when he basically publicly announced he was no longer going to prosecute the crime of fare evasion. Opened the floodgates that effectively, and this was part of this concern that Rikers was being flooded with people being arrested for quality of life offenses. There is not a person at Rikers serving time there for fare evasion, not one, and it never has been. So this was a red flag, if you will, that was raised at the height of the crises. No, this situation was created politically, and it will not be resolved until the politicians start aligning themselves with what I believe well-intended and well-thought-out efforts on the part of Mr. Adams, the mayor.
I'm speaking with two New York Daily News writers, Bill Bratton, former police commissioner in New York and other governances, Harry Siegel of the New York Daily News. And when we come back, more of the comments by the police commissioner about a recent op-ed he published, Common Sense is a Recommendation. I'm John Batchelor.